The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever does not enter a sheepfold through the gate, but climbs over elsewhere, is a thief and a robber. But whoever enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens it for him, and the sheep hear his voice, as a shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they recognize his voice. But they will not follow a stranger. They will run away from him, because they do not recognize the voice of strangers." Although Jesus used this figure of speech, the Pharisees did not realize what he was trying to tell them. So Jesus said again, "Amen, amen, I say to you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved, and will come in and go out and find pasture. A thief comes only to steal and slaughter and destroy. I came so that they might have life and have it more abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus talked about shepherds, sheep, and sheep gates. One easily imagines rolling hills dotted with grazing sheep during the day, and the village's flocks gathered together at night. In reality, Jesus' words were a dangerous attack. His words quickly bring to first century Jewish minds the word of the prophet Ezekiel attacking Israel's shepherds, the religious and civic leaders of the day. Ezekiel thundered, "Thus says the Lord God, all you shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, you have not strengthened the weak nor healed the sick. You have not bound up the injured, nor brought back the stray. You have not sought the lost." His challenge was especially striking, given the place and time of Jesus speaking. He spoke in the temple, in the hearing of the priests and the Pharisees who dogged him, whom he called thieves and robbers. He spoke during the Feast of Dedication, commemorating the temple's rededication after its desecration by the Syrian king Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Antiochus had set up a statue of Zeus Olympios in the temple. Too many shepherds, including the high priest, had collaborated with the king, who wanted to modernize the Jews, turning them into Greek pagans. In the conflict, 40,000 to 90,000 Jews died, and 10,000 were deported. Then as now, civic and religious leaders can be dangerous to your health. In our day, the problem is not just about our leaders. The danger lies in the power we give them. Too many hand over their thinking, decision-making, and even their consciences to society, media, and political leaders. Too many in and out of this country use religion to amass power by dividing and polarizing. What is asked of us Catholics? To be responsible, thinking, discerning adults. Our one underappreciated Catholic teaching is the inviolability of conscience. No man, no woman may turn their conscience over to another. Each of us will have to stand before God and give a personal accounting. Our church is about forming conscience, not deciding your conscience for you. A second century Christian writer paints a picture of what the Christian should be then and now, and I quote, "There is something extraordinary about their lives. They live in their own countries as though they were only passing through. They play their full role as citizens, but labor under all the disabilities of aliens. Any country can be their homeland, but for them, their homeland, wherever it may be, is a foreign country. They pass their days upon earth, but they are citizens of heaven. Obedient to the laws, they yet live on a level that transcends the law. Christians love all people. A blessing is their answer to abuse." End of quote. I can't think of a more engaging description of Catholic Christians and their duty to be better than society's expectations and laws. The law of their hearts was Jesus. Peter goes on to say from our second reading, "The church's ministers are bishops and shepherds because it is through them that the risen Christ exercises his shepherding and overseeing." But that is not a slavish obedience. On this weekend, shouldn't we recommit ourselves to becoming what the popes have long asked for, praying, thinking, adult Catholics who live the Jesus way? What is the Catholic mechanism that keeps the church dynamic, learning, and alive? It is Christ, the Good Shepherd, and the gift of his Spirit touching minds and hearts. Our church leaders preserve and preach the teachings of the apostles and articulate the Catholic emotion and imagination that shape and motivate our actions. On the other hand, the Spirit raises up prophetic voices to awaken hearts, challenging our thinking and spur us to take action. They shape our vision and call us to a new future. The Spirit speaks both through our leaders and through prophetic voices. We owe the Spirit real obedience. That is not simply doing what another says, but the discerning listening that personally responds. The word obedience comes from the Latin to listen to. Our task is to listen and to discern the Spirit's call. To some, one must say, never give your conscience over to another. Take responsibility. To others, one must say, don't confuse conscience with feeling. It is an act of informed judgment. Make time to study, to question, and to discern God's will and God's call. To both, one must say, stand consciously and act with integrity before your God. Indifference makes Christ powerless in your life. The Good Shepherd calls us at the sheep gate. Hear him. Today's gospel is clear. Each Christian is called. The sheep hear his voice as he calls his own by name. But he also sends you forth as thinking, engaged apostles to transform the world. Remember, you are each Christ's bearers with a mission for others. And now I invite Scott Baderford, who works for the Archdiocese and who will speak on the annual Catholic appeal.
Thank you, Father. And, you know, of course, it's always exciting this time of year to be hearing from the Acts of the Apostles and the letter from Peter and all that. And then we get to hear about the annual Catholic appeal. But the reality is, I think they're kind of intertwined because we heard about the great things the early church was doing. And this is a time for us to pause and think about the great things that we're doing together in faith as church throughout Western Washington. You know, obviously, this past Easter, at the Easter Vigil, I think from what the Archbishop said, a record number of Catholics were received into the church. And of course, at this time of year, we have First Communions and Confirmations and all those other great things that go on that we can be excited about as we see our faith grow. As someone, though, who works for the Archdiocese, I'm also aware, though, that we couldn't do a lot of those things unless we had all of us together to help support that work. If we were just one little church, not a wider church connected together, we wouldn't have those resources to do it. So whether it's those pastoral ministry things, such as supporting youth ministry, religious ed, support for our priests, and so many other ministries, we couldn't do those, I think, by ourselves. I must admit, though, that I'm from the more boring part of the chancery. I'm the director of parish financial services, so we don't do those exciting things like, you know, youth ministry, religious ed, but we do provide necessary support for your parish office, your parish staff, and your pastor, so they're enabled to have the resources available to do those ministries. And so, you know, we support people like Danny D'Amelio, Mary Wiseman, and others in the parish office to do things that they would either be unable to do by themselves or they'd have a hard time or spend a lot more time recreating and finding out. Thanks to your past support for the annual Catholic appeal, we've all done amazing things together here in Western Washington, and we can be proud of what we've done together as church, that our church is growing, unlike some other churches. And I hope you're proud of that. And of course, I'm here to ask you for your continued and increased support for the Archdiocese ministries. And I'm sure you know, just like every other organization, our costs have increased as well. Giving to the ACA is part of our stewardship, our giving back to God, our giving back in return for what God has given us in gratitude. So I'd ask this weekend if you'd join your fellow Catholics throughout Western Washington and return your gift, your commitment to the annual Catholic appeal. You know, as always, the pledge cards are at the end of the pews. You probably received something in the mail this week as well. Obviously, you can always go online to the Archdiocesan website and make your commitment. And I know your parish office staff would really appreciate it if you would do that this weekend so they don't have to do as much follow-up work and you don't have to get bothered by additional follow-up mailings or emails or what have you. So, you know, whether you do it at Mass today and put it in the collection basket, go home and fill it out and put it in the mail this week, or go online to make your commitment, I know they'd all appreciate that. And, of course, as always, obviously every parish has a goal. If St. Benedict's goes above its goal this year, the rebate will go to fixing and restoring and refurbishing the beautiful parish monstrance that you have for adoration. So that's an exciting thing to think to be part of. So finally, I'd ask if you prayerfully consider what God is calling you to give this year to support all the ministries of us together in faith across the Archdiocese. And I, of course, ask God's continued blessings on you for your support of the church throughout Western Washington. So thanks for giving us your time tonight and your support.
And now, as a sign of our unity as Catholics, let us stand and profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And now let us turn to the Lord in prayer.
That the Holy Catholic Church may extend the victory of the risen Christ by serving those who walk the valley of darkness. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That men and women who struggle for human rights may never follow false leaders or ways of violence. We pray to the Lord. That the Lord will raise up more priests to be shepherds of God's people. We pray to the Lord. For all the lay people who dedicate themselves to the mission of our local church, that they may be faithful and effective co-workers in the vineyard as the partners in the gospel process continues to unfold. We pray to the Lord. For all people of goodwill, that we may be willing to make the changes necessary to protect creation and reduce the harmful effects of climate change. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our young people may have life and have it to the full through fidelity to the Good Shepherd. We pray to the Lord. For those who are sick, grieving the loss of a loved one, and all who bear burdens in their heart. We pray to the Lord.
Loving God, these are our prayers. We present them to you in great faith through Christ our Lord.
Please join in singing our song, Jesu, Joy of Our Desiring, number 552.
Oh,
Let us pray that this our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Father Almighty. Grant, we pray, O Lord, that we may always find delight in these Paschal mysteries, so that the renewal constantly at work within us may be the cause of our unending joy through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, at all times to acclaim you, O Lord, but in this time above all, to laud you yet more gloriously when Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. For with the old order destroyed, a universe cast down is renewed, and integrity of life is restored to us in Christ. Therefore, overcome with Paschal joy, every land, every people exults in your praise, and even the heavenly powers with the angelic hosts sing together the unending hymn of your glory as they acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, the font of all holiness. Make holy, therefore, these gifts, we pray, by sending down your Spirit upon them like the dewfall, so that they may become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the time he was betrayed and entered willingly into his passion, he took bread and, giving thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and once more giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
And therefore, as we celebrate the memorial of his death and resurrection, we offer you, Lord, the bread of life and the chalice of salvation, giving thanks that you have held us worthy to be in your presence and minister to you. Humbly, we pray that partaking of the body and the blood of Christ, we may be gathered into one by your Holy Spirit. Remember, Lord, your church spread throughout the world and bring her to the fullness of charity, together with Leo, our Pope, Paul, our Archbishop, the clergy, and all those who serve your people. Remember also our brothers and sisters who have fallen asleep in the hope of the resurrection, and all who have died in your mercy. Welcome them into the light of your face. Have mercy on us all, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph, her spouse, with the blessed apostle, and all the saints who have pleased you throughout the ages, we may merit to be co-heirs to eternal life, and may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
Let us take a moment and offer each other the sign of peace. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ.
Amen.
The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Oh, I'm sorry. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Please join in singing our song, Shepherd of Souls, number 368, number 368.
Body of Christ. Body of Christ.
Satisfy the hungry.
body and blood. We ask your love and blessing, Father,
we
Son.
We bless and share the blood of Christ upon
the body of Christ.
Do not one cup, one loaf declare
the body of Christ.
Our
oneness
in the Lord. You
send Lord, we ask your love and blessing, Father, Son, and the Spirit, amen. Congratulations. We ask your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. The body of Christ.
The mystery of your presence, Lord, no mortal tongue can tell.
Lord, we ask your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. We ask your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
That sounds, let us be.
Lord, we ask your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, your abundant blessing, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.
You satisfy the hungry heart with gift of light and sweet.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Look upon your flock, kind shepherd, and be pleased to settle in eternal pastures the sheep you have redeemed by the precious blood of your Son, who lives and reigns forever and ever. I invite you to be seated for the announcements.
Thank you, Father. A few announcements, please. Starting May 1st, our parish family Eucharistic adoration at St. Alphonsus will be held on the first Friday of each month instead of the first Thursday. Father Parrish warmly invites everyone to join him for the Eucharistic Revival Conference on May 16th, Saturday at Mendenbauer Center in Bellevue. This moment is a time to refresh and renew our hearts in hope and ignite a deeper love for the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Registration links and QR codes are in the bulletin. Our St. Francis of Assisi ministry is once again hosting a heron habitat viewing on Saturday, May 2nd from 9 to 11 at Commodore Park. Bring your children and the whole family for a wonderful opportunity to observe herons nesting in the trees and God's creation together. We are pleased to invite all aspiring and currently serving liturgical ministers to participate in the following training opportunities. Lector training Monday, May 11th at 7 p.m. at St. John's Church. Extraordinary Ministers of Holy Communion training Tuesday, May 19th at 7 p.m. at St. Benedict's Church. Find more details about these and many other parish events by picking up and reading through the bulletin. Next week, the first Sunday of the month, we will have a special collection for St. Martin's de Porres Sandwich Making Ministry, which serves residents of the men's shelter in downtown Seattle. Please take an envelope home from the pews and return it with your donation for next week's collection. Thank you for your generosity. We also warmly invite you to join us next week as we celebrate our First Communion Mass, a joyful and grace-filled occasion for our parish community. Lastly, please join us for coffee and donuts hosted by Gary and Andrea de los Santos after Mass at the school cafeteria. Father Cyberstand will do a soft ask for ACA, and Scott Bader will speak at the end of the Mass. Thank you.
I'm grateful that I invited myself to be seated. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Mass is ended. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please join in singing our closing song, The Strife is O'er, number 607.
Oh,